Now, back in the day, Britain wasn't particularly fond of acknowledging the existence of its various spy agencies, let alone publicly announcing who ran them. Well, now not only do we know who runs them, they are giving speeches. Today, the director of GCHQ, Anne Keast-Butler, delivered her first public address. She gave the speech at the home of wartime code-breaking efforts, Bletchley Park. And the subject, current threats to the UK and the measures she thinks need to be taken to confront them. Our security correspondent Frank Gardner was there. So, what stood out to him?
I think it was Russia, really. I mean, much of the ground she went over was stuff that we'd heard before about hybrid threats. But really, it was the stridency, I think you could call it, of which she called out Russia's interference in democratic process and assassination attempts, and the constant, she said, relentless pace, increasing pace of cyber attacks coming from Russia. And she also mentioned, this was certainly a new line, was that according to her, there is new intelligence that shows that nearly 500,000 Russian soldiers have now been killed in the Ukraine war since the full-scale invasion just over 4 years ago. So that's extraordinary. I mean, those of us who are old enough to remember Russia or the Soviet Union's invasion of Afghanistan in 1979 that lasted around 9 years, 15,000 Soviet soldiers were killed in that, and it resulted in mothers practically storming the Kremlin. They were so angry about the deaths of their sons. There's been nothing like that, and yet the number is far greater. And it shows, I think, the kind of complete control that the Kremlin and Vladimir Putin have over the media.
But not control on the battlefield, according to her, that the sentence before she revealed that number is Putin is going backwards on the battlefield.
Yes, I think she might find that she's possibly a hostage to fortune with that, because as we all know, the battlefield or the front line, the forward edge of contact, tends to ebb and flow. But the fact is that it hasn't really moved very much in the last year or so. There are some places in Zaporizhia and near Kharkiv where Ukraine has been able to retake some ground. For example, when they were able to deprive the Russian army of their access to Starlink, that blinded the Russian army, and Ukraine was able to take advantage of that. I mean, both sides are pretty advanced when it comes to electronic warfare, but Ukraine's probably got the advantage right now, a little bit of the edge in terms of drone and electronic warfare, but that won't last. You know, as I said, ebbs and flows. But the fact is, when it comes to the hybrid warfare, in other words, sub-threshold or non-kinetic warfare, that means acts of aggression that one side or another is carrying out against the other, stopping short of an act of open warfare with people being killed. She said that Russia is on the increase with that.
The fact that she decided to share that assessment, though, of what is happening in Ukraine in this public lecture, what did you make of that?
I think, in a way, I was more surprised that she didn't mention China. She hardly mentioned China. Her only mention of that was that was quite complimentary, saying that China is effectively a peer nation when it comes to technology. It is a, she called it, a science and technology superpower, and that they are able to deploy their very sophisticated capabilities right across the military and civilian spectrum. But that's all she said about China. Now, GCHQ is one of three spy agencies that Britain has, the others being MI5, the Security Service, which look after domestic security in the UK, and then there's MI6, the Secret Intelligence Service. And MI6 make no secret of the fact, and in their boss's speeches, that their main effort is China, the country that takes up more of their time than anybody else is China. And yet, in this particular case, she hardly touched on China at all. It was really about Russia, AI, quantum technology, and the need for Britain to harness all the potential of society, not just spooks like her and her teams, to harness what technology is doing, industry, academia, the media, and the public, to all kind of come together and make it a kind of whole-of-society approach to staying on top of or ahead of the absolutely breakneck pace of quantum and AI.
Our security correspondent Frank Gardner speaking to me from Bletchley Park. Well, as Frank said there, the GCHQ boss Anne Keast-Butler insisted that everyone has a role to play in keeping the nation cyber secure.
In this volatile world, there are steps we can all take to protect our communities and our loved ones, to make the UK more prepared and more resilient. At home, that means taking important action to switch from passwords to passkeys.
Passwords, we all have them, often many of them, to log into accounts and websites. If you're really security conscious, you probably also have two-factor authentication, where you get sent a code to your phone on top of entering your password. But GCHQ want us to use passkeys instead. So what exactly are they? The technology was developed by the California-based consortium, the FIDO Alliance. I asked its CEO, Andrew Shikyar, why they're not fans of passwords and two-factor authentication.
Two-factor authentication was the industry's response to address the inherent weakness in passwords. But most forms of two-factor authentication are really just another password. And any sort of human-readable, quote-unquote, secret that can be entered into a website or an app, transmitted over the network, can and will be stolen or breached by hackers. The other thing I'd note is that it's not a great user experience. All of us have forgotten passwords and had to deal with password resets. Sometimes you get a second factor message, you know, that gets lost in transmission, or you're juggling devices. None of that is really necessary in today's day and age when you have advanced capabilities built into the devices that you use every day.
So in layman's terms, what is a passkey?
A passkey is an alternative password that makes it very easy to sign into applications and services using the exact same gesture that you use to unlock your device, your phone, or your PC multiple times each day. Think of it as a unique key pair rather than a password, where you have one key on your device, another key on the server that need to match precisely for you to be able to sign in. And the only way that you can present your key that's on your device is to authenticate locally to that device using, say, a biometric or something that's unique to you. What's important about that is that it prevents people from pretending that they're being you. You need to be in possession of your passkey to sign in. So most of the attacks we hear about are remote attacks where people use weak credentials or guest credentials or steal credentials and enter them remotely. With passkeys, you need to be in possession of your device to sign in.
How does it work exactly then? You know, your fingerprint, your face scan, these are the biometrics we're talking about. So Google or Microsoft, your bank, do they hold copies of your fingerprints or your face scan?
No, they don't. In fact, it's any sort of what I'll call local authentication, meaning something not transmitted over the network. So you're basically presenting yourself to your device, and that could be a biometric. It could also be a local PIN, right? And these are things that are just between you and your device that prove that you are in possession of the device and that it is you.
Can you keep passkeys somewhere in a digital wallet?
Yeah.
So if your phone is stolen, they are there protected and you're the only one that can access them.
Yeah. So to be clear, passkeys can be managed by any credential manager. So iOS and Android have Apple passwords and Google password manager is what stores your passkeys. But also services like 1Password or Dashlane or Bitwarden, you can also store your passkeys there, which is a good way to, you know, have access across platforms and across devices.
Just a final thought for someone working in this space like you, how important is it when the head of GCHQ, the equivalent of the NSA, makes a public speech and calls on the public to use passkeys?
I think it's fantastic when you have the leading spy agency citing this as a imperative and a national security edict almost. That really gives a lot of added credence to security professionals and people who may be still kind of waiting on the sidelines to move forward. Having that sort of endorsement, I think, is really important for industry and also a very important and powerful reminder to citizens as well, that they should be taking advantage of this technology that is readily available to them, literally at their fingertips.
A briefing on passkeys from the CEO of the consortium that developed them, Andrew Shikyar.